Where do all the atoms come from? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with meditation. Where do all the atoms come from? We look at the universe, and the universe is just crowded with atoms. We look at our fingertip, the tiny finger, and we find billions of atoms on our tiny fingertip. And we think, why is it that these atoms are there? What do these atoms do? Where did they come from? What was the creation of an atom in the first place? Well, essentially, the atoms are the building blocks of all matter. Atoms are matter itself, you might say, but they're the building blocks of all matter as we understand it. We look at a tree, a house, a car, a person. We look at any object, we look at anything, and we say that is made up of matter. That is made up of atoms. And these atoms are there. Now, where do they come from? Science is now doing infinite research into the blackness of outer space, and they're telling us that the blackness of outer space has more substance to it than the matter that we can see, and that some matter is invisible. And this invisible matter makes up the greatest percentage of our entire universe. If we can use a percent, like 100%, matter, black matter, makes up 99.99% of the universe. The matter that we can see makes up only the infinite amount of less than 1%. It seems like that couldn't be, and why would that be? And what is black matter? What is the dark matter that science are studying so diligently now? And they're recognizing it there because it goes behind light, or light is seen in front of it, or whatever. But we are asking the question of ourselves right now in our meditation, where does matter come from? Where does matter arrive out of? What created matter in the first place? Well, infinite intelligence, universal intelligence, the intelligence which guides, directs, inspires, creates to be all that is, exists. We don't understand it. We don't understand it only because we are looking like children at the universe, where our parents know a great deal more about it than we do. And our parents do not know anything about the universe compared to what can be known about the universe. Now, what can be known about the universe? Well, what causes energy to be energy? And why is energy something that can do beautiful things and do damaging things? Why does energy work a car, an airplane, a jet? Why does energy cause the food to grow? Why does energy cause plants to grow? Why does the energy of the sun, that is so apparently limitless, and for our universal lifespan that each of us is enjoying on this physical planet, it is we are but a speck in the infinity of time of the sun's life. What created the atom? Well, we can consume, we can presume that infinite intelligence created the atom. Now, I don't think anyone can find fault with that. I don't think anyone can say that that's not true, that infinite intelligence did not create the atom, because we have laid it all now upon the shoulders of infinite intelligence. We're not going to discuss what infinite intelligence is right now, because that it's a subject unto itself. But it did the creation. We say God, and God is infinite intelligence, and we label God, and we don't even understand God. And we label man, and we say that man has the ability to do magical things and wondrous things. And we haven't even the slightest idea how man functions. We don't even know how the body functions. We don't even know how the heart functions. We don't even know how the bloodstream functions, how the life force in the body exists, and how the life force appears to go out of the body. And is it the life force that goes out of the body, or is it the director of the life force that leaves the body and goes off into some other activity? Is that what death is? Where the director of the life force of any object or thing leaves that object or thing and goes off into something else? Or is it that the life force in anything is like a light switch? And when that light switch is turned off, then the force, the energy operating that object, is no longer active. And can that light switch be turned back on again? Oh, anytime. Can a new object appear out of the old object? Anytime. Does a new object appear out of the old object? Well, in a manner that we can understand, yes. We take a cow. When the cow is no longer alive, we either eat the cow or we take the cow and we use it for fertilizer. We cut it up and we bury it in the ground, or we do whatever we do with it. And the early Indians in America, they would plant their seeds. And when they planted the seed, they'd plant a fish in with each of their seeds, so that the seed would have the fertilizer that the fish became when the fish disintegrated or disassembled itself of its atomic form. Now, that's very understandable to us, and yet it's not understandable. How can a dead fish be energy or nutrients to a seed or a plant that's growing in the ground? How can we eat fish and gain from it energy? How can we do any? Now, all that's very interesting, but let's look for a minute at the atom, which is what we're talking about. Where did the atom come from? Well, now, we haven't quite gotten to the answer to that question, but let's look at the atom. Now, the atom, as we think of it, can neither be created nor destroyed. Although we say people are busting the atoms and using it in the atomic energy program, and this is certainly discombobulating the atom, busting the atom, breaking up the atom, but in truth it's not. Because what we think is the atom is only the shell of an infinite number of other essences. For within the atom are nuons and quirks and all sorts of other life forms, all sorts of other energy forms. And the energy forms go on into, they go on beyond anything we can ever understand for ourselves. But how can we say where these came from? Who put the design in progress for the quarks, the quorums, to become an atom? And the atom is the building block of the substance that we see now. Well, just as we look at the blackness of outer space and we are unable to see it because it is not seeable, so it is that the atom has guises that are within it, essences that are within it, that go far beyond our vision. And we can use the electronic radio microscopes to study and look into the substance of an atom, but all we do is look further and deeper and deeper and deeper, and we only have begun to probe into the absolute depth of what an atom is, of what the essence of an atom is. And when we get through that, even now, we have found that the atom is not the tiniest substance that there is. The atom is only holding tinier substances. Now, it takes quite a unique, remarkable, imaginative intelligence to create something like the atom. To create something that is so tiny, and yet it has within it essences that are even tinier yet, that perhaps have content, they have power, they have energy, they have, yeah, energy would be a good word for it, they have energy that goes far beyond anything that we can interpret. What is that intelligence? Well, we have the ability to know that intelligence. We have the ability to understand that intelligence. We have the ability to know this infinite wisdom. And we like to play with it on the earthly or human form. We like to play with it on realms that we can understand. And because we like to do that, we do not allow ourselves to look beyond. Even now, scientists do not find the darkness of outer space, which is the greatest source of all substance or all beingness in the universe, they don't make that as their primary objective to study it. Or even our bodies. It's only in the past several hundred years that our body has become the subject of science and the subject of much introspective study. And science were afraid to touch the body because they were touching something sacred made by God, and they could not dissect it. They could not study how it's made and how it functions. Well, perhaps instead of splitting the atom, which is what we may do, instead of splitting the atom, we study the atom. We study the atom to know how it functions, what purpose it has in the scheme of things, how we can use the atom, we can manipulate the atom, we can control the atom, we can direct the atom, how the atom, with all of its energy, one little atom can illumine a city of New York for a long period of time. How one little atom can have so much usable energy in it. And then we go out and we take our fossil fuels and we take all of these other things for finding energy. How interesting that is. And here the sun sends down the infinite energy that it does, and we haven't begun to use its potential. We haven't begun to use how it can be useful to us. Yes? And then we've looked at the sources of energy of the wind, and we looked at the sources of energy of many other things. But when we get down to the atom, if we were really to do some intensive research into the atom or into the blackness of outer space, we would find that the atom is a very vital essence in our world, in our life, and a very vital activity for us to understand why we are here and what our purpose is in being here. If you gave a beautiful gemstone to someone, and that person did not understand that that gemstone was valuable, they might just look at it and say it's pretty. But once they realize it's valuable, then they take it and they try to sell it for its value. They try to get what they can as usable money for the value of a gemstone. And in the process, the gemstone becomes more valuable because other people realize that the gemstone has value to it, and so that makes it even more valuable. And the fewer gemstones there are, the more valuable it is. The more gemstones there are, the less valuable it is. Perhaps, and not only perhaps, the atom, which is so abundant, which is in such great profusion everywhere, has not been sought because it has been in profusion. It has been available. It has been something that is. Well, our bodies are something that is in great number, and we haven't studied them. The sun is available to us as a tremendous heat, and it's a tremendous heat that is consistent. It's here every day during the day, and it's consistent for us to use however we wish. And then we create batteries which store the energy so that when the sun is not shining, we have the batteries to give us the energy. And then when the sun is shining, we charge the batteries. Now, that is really a very primitive way of doing and using and understanding energy and understanding the use of the atomic structure. But that's what we do. Now, why do we do that? Why do we place ourselves in such a limited understanding of the allness of the universe? Why is it we can't just open our mouths and spout out, where do atoms come from? Why can't we say to ourselves, truly, where do atoms come from? Is there some source in the infinite cosmos that an atom comes from? Or are atoms everywhere? Or are atoms that which make up the infinite cosmos itself? Are the blackness of outer space the most abundant, the most predominant essence of the universe? Is it atoms? Are there atoms making up it? And we know that they are. Now, why don't we study these things and understand them? Well, primarily because they elude us, because we cannot get our fingers on them. We cannot really get our fingers on an atom. We have split an atom, but when we really get down to it and really study this, we'll find that we really didn't split an atom. We just split something that appeared to be an atom, something that appeared to have that essence or that shell. All of life is like this. We think we have something so important and so understandable in our world, and it turns out just to be another illusion. And that illusion is but an illusion of another illusion, and the illusions go on ad infinitum. They go on forever and ever and ever. And they always will. Where do atoms come from? Where do you come from? Where do I come from? Is an atom, as we call it, really an atom? As science grows up, it finds that the atom which it thought was the tiniest of substances is now quite large, with many other essences in it. All is relative. If you look with a microscope, you look down into the depths of matter and water and various things, and you'll find other living objects and subjects all deeply within them. And if we take the telescope and we look into outer space, we find not only planets and star systems and galaxies, but we find, if we have a telescope that is powerful enough, or if we have the equipment capable of it, we'll find that there are other universes that are sparkling around our universe. And these other universes go on eternally. Yes. And out of all of this, the atom holds its wonderful place. We worship the atom, we revere the atom, we respect the atom. But is the atom really what we are thinking about? Is the blackness of outer space made up of atoms? We like to think it is. Or is it made up of an essence that we have yet to understand? Not a negative essence, not a positive essence, just an essence that we want to understand. And as we study it, and as we look into it, we'll find more exciting adventures than we ever dreamed possible. Yes. Not too long ago, they said outer space was beyond the scope, beyond the ken, beyond the reach of man. And before that, the early astronomers were looking at the stars. And with their imagination, they were mentally traveling to the stars. And they were traveling to the stars just as effectively as we are doing today. And if we will research what these early astronomers found out, we will find out that the information they have to give is the same that we get from our scientific probing into the universe. Where did atoms come from? Well, let's just leave it that they came from the universal energy, the universal mind, the universal all, as everything did. Interesting, isn't it? Have a wonderful day and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.